governor of the state, Governor Chris Sununu, joining us this Friday morning. Governor, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Now, you strike me as a somewhat of an optimistic person, and I want to start with the weather. Instead of looking at it, several inches of plowable snow and like a really negative event, isn't it exciting that it's going to snow the week before Christmas on a Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening tomorrow for the ski areas and everyone out there to get out there and enjoy it versus be bleak about it?
Oh, it's pennies from heaven. It's absolutely terrific. As a former ski resort guy, it's great for the economy. It's great for tourism. People are going to be skiing, and it's going to be, it looks like at least, it should be a white Christmas, which is great. It just kind of puts a little cheer in the air, and whether you're dealing with some of the tough issues of COVID that we're dealing with, it makes the smile a little broader, I think, when we're gathering over Christmas.
What do you mean, ski resort guy? You're a general manager, can operate a snow groomer. There's not many governors, maybe the governor of Vermont, that can do that.
No, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at managing a resort. Never a great groomer. I've been in that grooming machine. It never turned out great. Usually I would go out, I'd come back in at like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. The staff would be like, hey, yeah, good job. Way to be there, boss. And then they'd go fix it.
Yeah.
Before I came back in for the 8 o'clock first turns.
Let's get to the serious stuff. You had said a month, maybe 5-6 weeks ago to expect this surge with the Delta variant. We're at the end of the year. But with that, and of course, I don't want to get to the other variant yet. I'll come back to that with you because I want some optimism here. I think people are getting a little tired and fried on the negatives, but the reality is the reality. The Delta variant is really, I know three people right now that are home with it. They're all fully vaccinated, by the way. My point is that you're considering some other thoughts, maybe another booster blitz and other initiatives. What's your game plan at this point?
Well, again, we have a lot going on. We have the strike teams coming in. We have the EMTs that have already come in to provide some flexibility. We're already moving folks from into their long-term care in a pretty aggressive way, which is great. That's opening up beds. So a lot of it is all just kind of all these pieces that we've put in place over the past couple weeks. And already we've seen kind of the hospitalizations for the last 10 days really haven't moved, which is a good sign. I think they're going to go up again after Christmas and after the New Year's and then hopefully on a downward trend through January. That's kind of my unfortunate prediction, but I don't think we're on a downward slope just yet. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think we're there yet. We have a National Guard that are going in and helping hospitals. About 70 of them have been deployed into hospitals, and we could always deploy more into different areas if we need to. We have all of these. We have four fixed vaccination sites where you can just walk right in and get a shot today. Walk right in and get there, and we're going to open like another 5 or 6 more. Those locations will be announced next week. And then, obviously, the home test program. We were the first in the country to do it, very successful, with 1 million tests out the door in the first day. We think we're going to have another shot at that, so to say, next week, and we're going to try to get at least another 500,000 tests out there so people can go, click online, have home tests delivered to you and your kids, and it just makes your life easier, and it helps reduce the transmission because we know that much sooner. So a lot's been put into place and still some more to come. So, you know, we're going to manage this all the way to the end, and that might be a couple years down the road. No one really knows, but, you know, our job is to kind of take the good with the bad, and obviously I got a plan for the bad, but hope for the best, and so that's why we put all these different tools in there.
Governor, this morning or last night, I saw that now nationally coming out of the federal side, you know, they're saying the J&J, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine isn't as good, and that's the one that was out, as I think you got, even at one of the sites in the spring and summer. I was critical yesterday of Dr. Fauci, not for any personal reason, but when he comes out and says these things, I think confused the American people, talking about the Omicron variant, and we might have a double whammy in as early as January with that peaking, but yet most of my independent study on this is this variant, hopefully, and we should be optimistic, may not be as acutely symptomatic and require as much hospitalization. There's never any positives, and there's no perspective, and it's confusing to me, confusing to people. I hear it all the time. Do you think Dr. Fauci and the federal folks are still too confusing on these messages or not?
Yes. No, I think Washington has been confusing on the message for a year now, almost, for at least the last 9 months. I don't think they understand the power of the words. I don't think they're nefarious individuals per se, but I don't think they understand that when you say something 1 week, to just, you know, kind of change your mind and go in a completely different direction the next week sends the whole country into a tailspin, and most importantly, it erodes confidence, right? And so that's why I think governors have done a pretty darn good job of just being very factual, very data-driven And when I get up there, you see me, Jack, with my graphs. I don't mean to bore everybody with my graphs and my trends, but I want folks to know that if I'm making a decision that says X, Y, and Z, it's based on this data, these trends, and the hows and whys of what I'm doing. You might not agree with it, but at least you understand that we're not just putting our thumb in the air and hoping for the best. So Washington's messaging has been terrible from the onset. It's been really bad over the past few months. I tell people the answer here is that the vaccines and boosters. Right. I mean, that's really what it's about. And more people are, I think, realizing that they're seeing what's happening in hospitals. They're seeing that the vast majority of cases are unvaccinated individuals, and they're making that choice, which is the right choice, to finally get vaccinated or go get their booster. It's very important. So those are the most important things. And when we talk about all this other stuff, not that it's not important, but it kind of dilutes, I think, the most important parts of the message. People are clamoring over masks and masks this, masks that. Focus on the vaccines. Focus on the boosters. That's the way out. Masks are fine, and if a community wants to put in a mask mandate, that's their choice to do so. But it's not an end-all, be-all, right? Vaccine and boosters are really how you push back on this.
Yeah, you had two airline CEOs say the same thing yesterday or whatever. Hey, Governor Sununu on GMI Studios, Good Morning New Hampshire on this Friday. Before we let you go, I caught something yesterday, and I don't know who the other person was, but one of them was State Senator Dr. Tom Sherman. He's a doctor, but he's a state senator. He's been on the show a few times, and he's basically saying that he's not ruling out a run for governor as a Democrat. But they had a press event or something yesterday. There was some publicity criticizing you for handling of COVID, not doing enough. Do you think State Senator Sherman is politicizing COVID for political gain, or do you think there's some health care gains?
Of course.
Do you think there's some things?
Yeah, the Democrats are always trying to politicize this. Did he offer a single new idea? No. Did he offer a single new suggestion? No. There was nothing that was offered other than two Democrats out of 424 in our legislature. Two Democrats standing up and saying, "Do more." Okay, thanks. That's newsworthy. That's headline grabbing, right? So again, the Democrats that's just proof in the politicization of this, proof that they're just trying to, you know, stir something out of nothing, and they got nothing else to offer. We've put more innovative ideas on the table. We've been talking about this winter surge for months. We've been planning and designing around it for months, more than I would say any other state in the country, knowing that the position we were going to be in. And when it hit us, I'm not surprised. I walked out of those ICUs yesterday. Unfortunately, I was not surprised by what we saw there. It was exactly what I saw in other states when I toured them months ago to prepare for this. It's exactly what we saw, but we have all these tools we're putting in place, all these ideas. So, look, if when the Democrats come out and say, "Do more," it's not enough. We're still in COVID. Yeah, thanks for the tip. I mean, that's exactly what Lori Chibonet and Dr. Chan and I and others all across public health have been planning and designing for. And so, unless you got something to offer during a time of crisis, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And I think our team is managing this, frankly, as best as we possibly can, knowing that the numbers before us are what we had predicted.
Governor, before I let you go, I noticed nationally 18 to 45 American, that age group, number one cause of death is not COVID, it's fentanyl overdose. You've been talking about this. John Delaney's been talking about this. I've been talking about this for years now. Do you think our federal delegation is doing enough with the southwest border to keep fentanyl out?
Of course not. How can you claim they're doing anything on the southwest border when the answer is they're doing nothing, right? So the number of individuals crossing the border every month is at a record high. The amount of drugs coming through the border and human trafficking coming across the border is at a record high, and that makes its way here. So if by doing nothing you think they're not doing enough, yes, of course they're not doing enough because they're ignoring it. Democrats in Washington are completely ignoring what's happening on the southern border, hoping that we don't take interest in the issue. Well, the issue is of interest because it's right here. It is right here on our streets across the state with this drug crisis. Senator Hassan, as governor, did absolutely nothing to curtail the skyrocketing number of fentanyl overdoses we saw. We saw that number skyrocket year after year after year. So she goes to Washington and, again, does nothing. The border is wide open. That seems to be okay with them. They're doing absolutely nothing about it. And the amount of drugs coming over that border into the state is at an unprecedented level. Now, we have great law enforcement, work very close with John Delina, DEA, pushing back on a New England level. And they're having some successes. And we were one of the only states with my new doorway system where the overdose deaths did not increase in 2020. I mean, so we got a long way to go. no doubt. But we don't have those skyrocketing numbers we used to have. We're constantly on a downward trajectory, even in tough times. We still have a lot more to do, but you got to engage with the issue. You've got to talk to people on the streets of the state. You have to talk to families. You have to go into recovery centers and open your ears and listen to them. Listen to where the system has been failing them. And the fact of the matter is this stuff comes over the southern border. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about it because matters, and it's really hitting us home.
I mean, the cartels exploiting the human trafficking is terrible. Governor Sununu, make it a great Friday and enjoy that snow tomorrow.
You bet, buddy. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.